This is Chris Fricker, and welcome to our May edition of Through Science to Health. In our flurries of focus on the pandemic over the past few years, we've not covered other aspects of public health and caregiving in our county. In this final regular edition of our program, we'll be speaking with Dr. Christine Skorberg, who is part of the dynamic obstetrics and gynecology team here at Jefferson Healthcare. Dr. Skorberg received her BFA from Southern Methodist University, did her pre-medical studies at San Francisco State, and earned her doctorate of medicine at Chicago Medical School. She has an extensive career in obstetrics and gynecology and has delivered more than 10,000 babies. She served as OBGYN department chair at previous hospitals and was leading OBGYN surgeon in Northern Colorado. Dr. Skorberg was a featured physician on MTV's 16 and Pregnant series, and she's currently the medical director of the Women's Health Clinic at Jefferson Healthcare. Dr. Christine Skorberg, welcome to our program.
Thank you.
Well, the header of the website says champions for health at all stages of life. One of the most important factors for anyone coming for care at any stage of life is the comfort and trust that a welcoming and inclusive environment provides. Let's talk about the welcoming part and the inclusive part. And also, why don't we start off with your own personal philosophy about what you have chosen to do in life?
Well, I love taking care of women. I feel a closeness and camaraderie with women. And it's a career that you can follow people from their teenage years through their reproductive years, through their perimenopause and their menopause years. And it's a nice continuity of care. And it's an inclusive field in that you see people in the office and you also deliver their babies and you also can operate on them. So it's just been an ideal career for me.
Well, your services are quite comprehensive. What kinds of services would you provide at any given stage of a woman's life?
Well, my youngest patient was a 2-year-old female baby, and I helped her. And then my oldest patients are in their 90s. But usually I see patients in their teenage years, maybe coming in for birth control or just to discuss different aspects of their health. And then once they're in reproductive years, then we do a lot of obstetrics and talk about preconception and obstetrics and deliver their babies. And then as women enter into their perimenopausal period of their life, that's a pretty challenging time when their bodies are changing and their emotions are swinging. And we can be a lot of service and a lot of counseling, and we can offer a lot of solutions to those problems. And then as you advance on, you become menopausal, and we talk about menopause and, you know, different features that affect the body when you're menopausal, and if we can do anything to help with those different complications or problems that women have.
Well, I would imagine that counseling, listening, and clarity are paramount to a successful assessment of each individual that enters your doors. Why don't you take us through the process? What happens when somebody comes through the doors of Jefferson Healthcare in your clinic?
Well, first of all, we have a terrific team here. We've built a fabulous team that's committed to doing premium expert care for the OB-GYN population here. So our front staff is awesome. They're very friendly and understanding, and we're definitely all inclusive. Everyone is welcome here. Then the nurses are wonderful. They're smart and helpful and kind and patient with the patients. And then they put the patients in the room. And then we, the doctors, Dr. Lukman, my partner and myself, come in. And we like to start with the patients dressed so that we can have a conversation first and the woman feels, or whoever comes in and feels more comfortable. And we can kind of talk about what they're here for, sort of review their history and physical. And then we step out. And then if there's something that we need to examine, we come back in and examine. And then we come back out. And as they get dressed, then we come in and we express and talk to them about our findings and how we feel we can help them. And we always give all the different options. And then maybe say what we would do ourselves or what we would pick for our wives or our mother. But ultimately, it's the patient's choice. And I think it's very important. And my partner, Dr. Lukman, and myself, we really emphasize listening to the patients and listening so that we can understand what they're here for and really help them.
What are some of the big challenges that you're encountering these days in this kind of care with COVID and other things that have really restricted people's access sometimes and maybe even a communication?
These last 2 years have been terrible. Terrible for the staff. You know, everybody's overworked and tired and downtrodden. And the poor patients, we couldn't see as many patients as we usually do. And we had to cut back on surgeries. So those have all been terrible challenges for the patients and the staff alike. But usually, Dr. Lukman and myself can sit and talk to the patients and help them understand that these are the constraints we have right now, and we can work around them the best we can and still deliver excellent medical care.
This is something that has always interested me, not only from past experience, but personal experience, but also just generally speaking.
You mean when you delivered a baby?
No, when I did. Oh, I didn't do that. I watched it happen, though.
Yeah, that's fun, isn't it? Amazing. It's like a miracle, isn't it? Every time.
Yeah, it's just pretty amazing. I'll never forget my little boy's first squawk.
Yeah, right. Exactly. It's forever.
Well, if there are spouses or partners available, how are they included in this journey of care and these overall experiences that you're providing?
Well, it has been a little difficult these past 2 years with COVID because there's been restrictions on family members or partners coming in. But we do try to ordinarily always have family members or partners come in, even for just the consultation, whatever the patient's coming in for. It's always good. One, the patient feels more relaxed when someone else is there. And then there's a second pair of ears. Because, you know, we have a lot of information that we give to patients, and it's hard to, we're used to it. We do it all the time, every day. That's our job. And even though we repeat ourselves several times, it's nice to have a second pair of ears so that they have a broader understanding of what we're doing. But we definitely always try to have the family or the partners in as much as the patient desires. I did a delivery and there was about, 20 people in the room. They were having a party. They were eating and drinking and the woman's pushing. I'm like, oh my God, I heard they had room to deliver the baby. So we really are all inclusive.
Well, that's for sure. The kids, how do you involve the kids in this whole orientation process?
Well, especially pediatrics, we like for the toddlers to come in with their mothers because then they're starting to get some kind of awareness that something is changing. And, you know, we can talk to them and then they see us examine the mother and listen to the heart tones on her tummy. And I think that's very helpful and important for the other children to come and experience that. Get them ready.
You know, of course, we're talking about ideal situations or semi-ideal situations, but there are occasions where decisions have to be made that are not necessarily part of the continuum of pregnancy, guiding someone through pregnancy and giving birth. Sometimes there are intervening factors that determine that maybe there should be some elective decisions made for mothers and families.
We try to express to the patient and tell them truthfully what is going on. And then we give them all the options that are available. We are not the ones to pick what to do for patients. There are some problems, you know, in pregnancy that a woman could have. And we just try to explain to her what's going on. And then she has to decide what she wants to do. We try to guide people. We tell them the main goal, absolutely, in pregnancy is for a safe mother and a safe baby. And we do have a lot of patients who want, you know, a natural birth. And we tell them, we're going to try to give you the experience you want, absolutely. But the main goal is for you to be safe and the babies to be safe, right? I mean, I had one husband, you know, and the woman was in labor and it wasn't going well. And he goes, above all else, the most important thing is we don't do a C-section. And I looked at him, I said, no. The most important thing is we have a safe mother and a safe baby. And he just looked at me like, oh yeah, that's the most important. You know what I mean? So you have to kind of let them see what the situation is. But Dr. Lukman and myself always explain to the family, the patient, the husband, the partner, what's going on when a woman is in labor or what's going on with her pregnancy and tell her, these are the options and this is what I recommend and what do you want to do?
I want to go back a little bit. You were part of this series on MTV a while back, 16 and Pregnant.
And that show, by the way, helped cut down on teenage pregnancies.
Well, tell me about that a little bit. I'm curious.
It was a TV series. And so they would come and film throughout her pregnancy, different episodes. And then they filmed the delivery and they filmed postpartum. And
for a minute there, I thought maybe it was more helping people to walk through their own particular situations in life.
We try to prevent teenage pregnancy. We definitely try to, you know, that's like top on our list. And education, Dr. Lukeman and myself give a lot of education to the teenagers and their parents, if their parents are interested, because teenage pregnancy is not good for anybody. You know, it's nice for the teen to be a teen and the baby to have be wanted and the mother of the teen to be a mother and not be, you know, another mother to a grandbaby.
For folks that maybe end up in a pregnancy for reasons other than the normal way of becoming pregnant, whether it be unfortunate situations like rape or incest or anything like that, how do you address those?
Well, we talk with the patient about their pregnancy, what's happening, and then we give them the different options, and then they need to pick what they want to do. Sometimes unplanned pregnancies are a real struggle, and finding the right decision for that person is tough. We have patients who have decided to carry to term and then actually give the baby to the obstetrician to find a home for. That's happened to me several times in the past. You know, it's tough. Unplanned pregnancy is tough, or can be. I mean, if you're married and you're just not using any birth control and you're like, oh, well, we got pregnant, that's a different thing than, you know, getting pregnant by accident.
I know Washington State is fairly well protected on a statewide level with elective decisions about pregnancy. But what do you think? And I don't want to get into the controversy or anything like that. And I don't expect to draw you into that at all by opinion or anything. But what's your perspective on 50 years of established law that might be overturned right now?
Well, I think we're waiting for Mike Glenn to make an official statement for Jefferson Healthcare on that issue. So I would defer to him.
It doesn't hurt for me to ask. There are LGBTQ services included in the clinic?
Absolutely. For quite some time, I had a small practice in Fort Collins, Colorado, and took care of a large transgender population. And when I applied here, they asked me specifically how I felt about that. And I said, my goal is for each individual to feel healthy and happy and confident in their body. And however we can make that happen is what we proceed to do. So we had a transgender man deliver a baby this past year, and we have a lot of transgender females and a lot of transgender males and some non-binary, and it's all fine. And we, Dr. Lukeman and myself, it's important to us to have open, honest discussions with these people, help them to feel comfortable and valid. And that's why we're changing the name of the clinic from the women's clinic to the OB-GYN clinic to be more inclusive so people feel comfortable coming here no matter who they are.
That was my next question. You know, what were those deciding factors in changing the name of the clinic?
That was the deciding factor. And my good partner, Dr. Lukeman, came up with that name.
What are the biggest challenges when decisions were made to be inclusive and to understand it's not new, but this whole self-reflection on gender identity? What were some of the challenges that you had maybe with the public or you had with the clinic when those decisions were made to be inclusive like that?
Well, when Dr. Lukeman and I started here, we started having a lot of office meetings with the staff to make sure everybody was on board and understood what that meant, and to be kind and welcoming to anyone in any all phone calls. And nobody had any issues at all with that. And we've moved forward with that and had multiple staff meetings for the clinic of the OB-GYN, and it's been working out great.
I have a COVID question for you, and it's based on some studies that suggest that breast milk might have general immune properties to help babies fight COVID, even if mothers have never been infected. Give me some information and thoughts about that.
Well, this is what we know about breast milk. All of the mother's immunity passes through to the baby by the breast milk. So that's where we encourage women to breastfeed for at least 3 months. So the baby picks all that immunity up before their bodies are big enough to make their, start building their own immunities. So it would be for anything, not only just viruses, but bacterial infections and allergies and all of that is included. So I'm not surprised that even women who haven't had COVID offer some immunity, especially if they've been vaccinated, then we know they've built up their own immunity to COVID and they pass that through to the baby. That being said, okay, let's talk about breastfeeding. If it works, it's great. But if it doesn't work, usually, except right now we have a shortage of formula, but there's a lot of women also who are make so much breast milk, they're donating breast milk. So there's other things women can do rather than stress about being able to breastfeed. I think that's very important because they can feel a lot of pressure to breastfeed and it's not working and the baby's not gaining weight. And then that's more stressful. And we have alternatives. So you just need to enjoy your baby and grow together and not be stressed about that. So if breastfeeding works, terrific. If it doesn't, we have alternatives that work. And I always tell all my patients that.
And speaking of the alternatives, Christine, I know that this has been repeated quite often now, but what is your advice about baby formula, lack of baby formula, and maybe blending two different brands of baby formula and all of that?
That would be more of a pediatric question than an obstetrician question or family practice OB question, because quite frankly, obstetricians deliver the babies and then we give them to the mother and the pediatrician. So I would not ever say that I would be the expert to ask that question, and I would ask an expert.
I remember that. My little boy was handed over to the pediatrician.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't that the OBGYN said, I'm done.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like that, you know, but we have a few minutes left. And I want to ask you, if you had three wishes for an ideal clinic and an ideal environment and an ideal access to not only the privileged, but the underprivileged in your practice, what would those three wishes be?
Well, first of all, this is a critical care access hospital. So it has been a great dream to be able to take care of Medicaid and Medicare patients and not have to worry about finances and being able to afford to do that. They have determined that there's a need here in this community. And so we are supported for those patients in need, which is, as a physician, a lovely feeling because we want to take care of people. We don't want to worry about people's insurance and we don't want people to worry about their insurance. I mean, that's been a terrible problem here and it's, you know, still snowballing along. So I'm hoping the politicians can figure that out. And for our clinic here, they are building us a brand new space, which will be wonderful. We'll have a few more rooms and more space to move around and update a little bit. And that will be nice for our patients and for the staff. And then we could use a little bit more help with staff. All the hospitals in the whole country have had problems with staffing because the COVID just exhausted the healthcare providers and they've gone on to other jobs and you can't blame them. It's been really, really, really a difficult 2 years. So ideally, we're excited about our new space. That's going to be good. We're changing our name. That's going to be great. We'd like a little bit more staff. That'll be good. And presently, we live in a world here in Port Townsend where we can take care of everybody. And it would be great if across the whole United States, we could take care of everybody. That's how doctors feel. We don't want to pick and choose who we take care of. That's a terrible feeling. That's not what we went to medicine for.
Dr. Christine Skorberg, I want to thank you for joining us today. The medical director of the Women's Health Clinic at Jefferson Healthcare. Give us the new name.
The OB-GYN Clinic of Jefferson Healthcare.
Well, thanks for joining us today on Through Science to Health.
Well, thank you.
Every month over the last 2 years, we've been bringing you a monthly edition of Through Science to Health. We've brought you discussion and updates surrounding the pandemic. Given that we still have our weekly Monday morning COVID reports and Q&A from Dr. Allison Berry, we've decided to make this our final regular edition of this program. I'd like to thank my past co-hosts, Kate Keenan and Lynn Sorensen, who dedicated their talents to our program. Our theme music, by the way, is Things with Wings, composed and performed by Liz Story from her album Solid Colors on Windham Hill Records. From all of us here at KPTZ, thank you for listening.